Hey everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comic Podcast number 79. We have some returning folk. I was confused.
But singular.
Well, no.
Returning person.
People. I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics, and joining me tonight are...
Joe F.
Donnie.
Chuck.
Adam.
Matt.
Sean from San Francisco.
And calling in from Cleveland. I haven't said that in a long time.
Yeah, Nick.
True. That was like so sedate. Just
sorry, I'm doing work in this. I'm like splitting my brain into three different parts.
Well, St. Nick, this is your busy time of the year, yes?
It is. It's the busiest time of year for me, yeah.
So is it for Santa?
Well, yeah.
Wait a minute.
St. Nick.
St. Nick. Oh, man.
Whoa.
We were talking about connecting the dots earlier.
Everybody else's mind is blown.
Okay. So there were a couple news things this week, and then a couple new Marvel books came out, so I figured we'd talk about them. Well, not that they're not newsworthy in their own. But
there's a lot of new stuff going on.
Apparently Sunday it was revealed that Gail Simone was fired from Batgirl via email by Brian Cunningham, the former Wizard editor, and her new editor on Batgirl. And there's been a little bit of a firestorm, at least on Twitter. That's been fun to follow.
That has to be the dumbest thing DC has done in years.
Yeah. I looked it up. I think the last issue was number 35 on the Diamond sales chart. And I kind of look at it, I'm like, what are they expecting? What do they want out of it? You know, expected to be a top 10 book? It's not. It's Batgirl.
It'll be canceled within 6 months. After
well, I don't think 6 months, but maybe a year.
I'm dropping it.
Oh, it's going to drop, but it's just...
where does it line up with the Bat Family books?
Well, I mean, it's in the middle of the crossover right now, so it's hard to...
Yeah.
Hard to say, but you know, I think it was even outdoing Nightwing. So it just... Mm. You know, you keep Batwing, but you're going to get rid of Bat... You know, I don't know... I just don't know what they expected... out of her. So if it wasn't a performance type thing,
isn't she the only female writer there?
Right,
right.
And it,
especially the
not
major,
just the only
major
Nassetti.
But
Nassetti.
Well,
she's
yeah.
a major one.
She's doing Katana.
She's the only good female writer.
But I mean, she's probably the most prominent female writer in comics.
Yeah.
Oh,
or Kelly Sue DeConnick.
But I'd say
she's
Gail
coming,
Simone. Right. But I see, you know, and so just to cut her loose like that is just baffling.
It seems odd. Now,
my theory on this is that Gail Simone did a Kickstarter, and this is DC saying if you want to publish your own books, you're not going to be able to publish them through us. Know what I'm saying?
Well,
that's a pretty bad precedent.
That's a really bad precedent.
Yeah, that
but I mean, I think her contract, her DC exclusive contract, just ended like this week. I remember reading that somewhere. So I don't know if it had something to do with that. But
come
still,
on, Gail Simone, Deadpool.
Yeah, why would you cut her loose? I mean, now you
she was one of the early writers of it. I'd love to see her.
Yeah, she did the Agent X run.
Yep.
That was awesome.
But who are you gonna, you know, now trying to get new talent, and you know, combine that with getting rid of Karen Berger. You know, I just.
I think what's going to prevent them from getting young talent is the editorial control they want.
Yeah.
Who wants to be an up and coming writer and be like, well, Scott Snyder has a big crossover, so you're going to write this storyline. You can write it however you want, but it's going to start this way. This is the middle, and this is the end. I mean, who's going to?
Well, that's what
that?
It is right now. But in 2 weeks, we're going to change it.
Right.
That's what, you know, we're hearing. And I had a little bit of fun. Ryan was in this morning. We were talking about this stuff. And I kind of came up with this analogy, and it kind of works. But everybody made fun of Rob Liefeld when he left, and he was burning bridges and stuff. But he's starting to look like the Jose Canseco.
Well,
when Jose left
that.
And said everybody was doing steroids, nobody believed him. And then all of a sudden it came out that everybody was. You know, maybe Rob was telling the truth. You know, the editorial control has gone crazy there.
I expect
he even
was
said
right.
that stuff's going to come out after he left, and it's going to trickle out. That's going to prove him right.
Yeah, it's just it's not looking good.
Then again, there was no reason for him to go after Scott Snyder like he did.
He's a tool, but
yeah.
I think what he was saying was he may have exaggerated the conditions, but I think he was telling the truth about the conditions, and he was a tool of how he did it.
Well, I think all he did with Snyder is he basically just said that Batman was going to sell no matter what.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not no great shakes. But, I mean, I don't agree with him, but...
Well, the numbers, yeah, the numbers say otherwise.
Is he part of the problem?
Snyder? I don't think Snyder is, no.
He's just taking advantage of a situation that works for...
I was going to say, he's not part of the problem, but he's not experiencing what all the Tier 2 writers are experiencing.
Right.
Right.
You know, him, Jeff Lemire, I don't know who else you would even call a top-tier writer there anymore. Brian Azzarello.
Well, anyone that was big in the 90s.
Yeah.
So.
Howard Mackey.
Scott Lobdell.
Bob Harris. I mean, the X-Men lineup of 1990s that all got fired from Marvel for being ineffective and being company men.
For driving it into the ground?
Yep.
Driving it into bankruptcy?
Do you really expect it to be any different this soon after the, you know, the new 52 relaunch? And wasn't that part, not the only reason, but part of the reason to do the relaunch was to kind of reel things back in and get it back to a manageable universe. And if you just let everybody go off and just totally be creative, then we're going to end up where we were before.
I look at it, Liefeld left because there was too much control and too many changing on a book like Grifter. Who cares about Grifter? Let the writer, if he has a really cool Grifter story, let him go. Let him tell it. I don't think nitpicking the editorial on Grifter, I mean, he was on Grifter, Hawkman, and Deathstroke. You can't screw up those. They're not going to be huge, big books unless, you know, some miracle happens. You know, it has, you know, just catches lightning in a bottle.
Well,
so
then you should go read Deathstroke now because it has a new writer this week.
With Justin Jordan. But, you know, and then you just worry, you know, are they going to start nitpicking that one, you know, and him and stuff. So it's just, it's scary. I understand the need for editorial control, but I think you also have to let the writers write. If you hire somebody to write a book, it just sounds like they're nitpicking. But yeah, the Gail Simone thing just makes no sense to me. And on the heels of the digital stuff and the Karen Berger stuff, it's like, wow, that's three big PR blows against DC in a matter of 3 weeks.
Well, I don't think the digital stuff affects anybody but retailers hating on them.
Okay.
Or Karen Berger, for that matter.
Karen Berger affects them. Yeah.
But even within the comics world, how many people actually know that name?
What, Karen Berger? In the comics world?
As far as, like, impacting whether or not I'm going to buy DC.
Oh, right. No, not that.
I would bet less than 10% of your customers could tell you who Karen Berger is.
Oh, sure. That could be. But my concern is just you look at the books that...
Donnie has no clue.
I never bought a very good book.
Okay. But you look at the names she brought in, the creative nurturing she did of that stuff.
Well, I looked it up.
Hurt them, but I don't think it's a PR blow.
Not, well, okay.
I had to look it up after you said you had to lunch with her.
Right.
Eventually.
Retailers things. Who is that?
Yeah. I think it's just it's getting scary. Just
what
where are they going? Is it going to be Bob Harris Comics and Dan DiDio Comics? And I don't have a lot of faith in those two guys.
What it's I find odd is we haven't heard anything.
Exactly, and that's the fear, Nick. That's
we haven't heard about anybody.
But you know what? It could be a heyday for independent books. I mean, especially Karen Berger. I'm excited that she's leaving. Frankly,
I think she's been she's been wearing mittens for a long time.
Yep.
No, I'm excited to see. Sadly, she stuck there through March. I'd like to see where she can go to. Because, I mean, I think she would be great at some place like Image where she could say, hey, this is a great idea. What about this? And I think that's where all that great Vertigo stuff came. Not from her, you know, tightening the reins on people, but just saying, you know, framing their stories better.
Yeah.
Because, you know, not every guy, you know, hey, what if this happened? Oh, that's great. And, you know. Well, if there was a Saint of Killers? Hey, you know, that, you know, some Preacher's a whole different book.
Hmm.
Not saying she did that, but I think that's what she brought to it. And she went out and she found the talent, too.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think she took chances, right?
Yeah.
I
mean, oh, absolutely she took chances.
Let's give Brian Wood, who's written his own book, right? Or even go out Dennis
Moore.
At that point.
Yeah.
Alan Moore, I mean,
Brian. Yeah, so they don't have that. Yeah. But now you're not going to, you know, you're going to go to England. Want to come write for DC? We're not going to let you write the story you want to write. Yeah.
Where do you think the next crop of talent is going to come from? We went to England.
I don't know.
We went to the South.
It depends what kind of food CB's so well into right now.
Yeah.
No. He gets the artist.
The world to eat.
I think it's going to be I think it's not going to be any particular area, but just because of the way the internet changes things.
Yeah.
Oh, didn't we have a little bubble with like a little pop of Filipino talent for a while? And
in the art world, yeah.
And then it was like a little group with Simon Bianchi and some of those guys coming out of Italy. And,
there's a lot of South American talent that's being Marvel, too.
Yeah. Mike Diodato, Brazil.
That's
South
true.
America.
That's true.
Rain Badero, or whatever his name is. Rain.
Hold on, spell that.
I don't know.
His first name's Rain, because I've actually heard Mike say Diodato say it, but it's Mike's colors.
Okay. There's a lot from Mexico, too, like Humberto Ramos, Francesco...
Franco Villa.
His buddy.
Franco Villa, he's not from...
He's from Italy, isn't he?
Yeah, I was going to say, he's not from...
Yeah. No, Francesco Herrera is Humberto Ramos, like, best friend.
Did you see the tweet from Dark Horse? Dark Horse.
I'm not looking at my phone. I'm paying attention to what's going on here.
It was at 5-something that...
Okay.
Did they tweet Pittsburgh
Gail
Comics?
What?
Dark Horse tweeted Gail Simone and said, come over to the dark side. We have cookies and high fives. Don't mind that awkward dude in the helmet. It breathes funny. So she's going to get a lot of...
Oh, absolutely. And yeah. She can, you know, she can work at all the... You know, her exclusivity is over. It's just very odd.
I can't see her in Dark Horse, though.
Why not?
Why not?
If you write something good,
yeah,
why not?
But it's just, I'm just...
Any of them.
You know, what are the chances she's going to go back to D.C. is, you know...
Well, and the other thing is that she's very influential online. You know,
yes.
And to... That's a very loud move to go against a very low...
Yeah, she... I mean, I don't know how many fans she has, you know, buying the books, but it's going to, you know... It's going to... It was only selling like 45,000, which isn't bad, but, you know, if you're going to drop a percentage of that right off the bat, that's not good. I really wonder what they're thinking at this point, or if they are.
She said in a tweet, though, that even though, like, the problem with DC will pass over or something like that, that she...
Well,
would,
she's definitely taking the high road, but it's just
yeah.
It was really... I remember reading it when she said it, and I was just like, what? Because I just happened to be working here that on Sunday, and it was just, what?
Yeah, I mean, what did you expect from her? She's going to take that. She always seems...
Right, absolutely. But I was more just shocked that it happened. It was just...
A lot of them aren't even really saying, like, what's totally happened. Like,
no, she... No, now. Yeah, but...
Even with Karen... Karen,
yeah, she didn't say why.
You haven't heard really anything of what...
No, but you have to assume once they took Constantine away from her, it's like she's sitting there going, what do I have?
Yeah.
A book on hiatus. And,
yeah, a book on hiatus and Fables, which I'm sure she has nothing to do with. That's all Willingham. Because at least with Hellblazer, you know, it was a rotating... crop of writers and different stories.
Though, after a while, though, it seemed like that was it was going that way. Because how many books
right.
have we seen Constantine in?
Oh yeah, but
I figured
just,
DC would take that, but
I don't see that new one going 300 issues.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think he's a good fit for the regular DC universe.
Yeah, but they could have still had both books. There's no reason to end.
Which they have with Marvel's had that with Punisher. I mean, Punisher's been in the main universe and had a max
That's
title.
True.
Wolverine,
yeah. we don't talk about that.
All of these moves to me seem like it's just further and I guess towards the R&D of corporate R&D.
Yeah, it definitely feels corporate, but it just doesn't make sense because it's not going to go up in sales. So I don't see what the net effect was for it or what they even expected to happen.
Well, she's been around a long time. You don't know what her salary, you don't know what her package was like.
Well,
either,
that's so true.
Maybe she retired. She doesn't care about the comics. She's just going to be like, whatever. You people can debate it.
I think her fallback. I don't think her fallback career pays quite as well as comics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although you never know.
Was there other news?
There was other news. Image took a shot at us yesterday.
At you personally?
At me as a retailer.
They came in.
It a drive-by.
It was a drive-by.
The Image van pulled up into the line.
Somebody dressed in a Spawn costume.
I kind of want to read this because I was reading it out loud before, and nobody could believe that they actually.
After just chastising you for looking at the phone.
Yeah.
Well, no, because this is... I didn't print it out. Sorry, I didn't print out their email.
This is ridiculous.
But just to read it, it's just... This is two retailers in an Image email. But it's... I have some bad news. Saga is... Number 7 is sold out.
Oh, yeah, I read this.
Sounds like good news, right? Well, it's not. First, it means that retailers underordered it. And second, we will not be reprinting it in italics. Should we have overprinted? We did. Should we have told you specifically, order a lot of this one? Well, did we really need to? This is Saga we're talking about. Issue 7. What?
Wow. This is so... never mind. I'm trying to imagine a client to... A conversation between a client and a customer that goes like this. Sorry,
yes.
Continue.
Is that Eric Larson's words?
This is Saga we're talking about. Issue 7 was its return after a brief hiatus. Yeah, 3 months. That had fans of The Epic by Brian K. Vaughan and Fiona Staples as restless as cats in heat. And following on the heels of the release...
Cats in heat.
Of a trade paperback that is moving like wildfire. And its FOC came just 2 weeks after I quite single-mindedly harangued you about your order numbers decreasing with each issue of even our most popular titles using math. Math, people, in italics.
Wow.
What's even worse is that orders for Saga number 8 decreased 4% from orders on number 7. It will not be reprinted either. We have decided to cease second printings of single issues of titles that are known overperformers in hopes that it will help initial sales find their proper level. That's marketing speak for you knows this sells, so you better make sure you order enough. Italics.
Dum-dums, yes. In parentheses.
Yes.
Is this written by the great
So, Kazoo? Yeah, it just kind of goes... Yeah. So it's just... Yeah, I'm just reading this just going, really? You're talking to That's me like this?
Yeah. Like, you know what? So they hate you, right?
Well, not hate, but just talking
to me. As a customer, like, yeah. They just think you're a baby, right?
And so I ran my numbers, but just to give them to you, Saga number 1 I sold 48 of. Number 2, 40. Number 3, 33. Number 4, 31. Number 5, 32. Number 6, 27. And number 7, the one they're talking about, sold out, 24. So in the course of 7 issues, I've dropped 50% of my sales. And I even, from between 6 and 7, went down 3 issues. So why, you know...
Well, Donnie bought a lot of that one with the strap.
Well, he did. He did.
Just berate your customers for not buying.
There you go. Exactly. But so, yes, I decreased my orders from 7 to 8 because I dropped 3 copies I sold. So I reduced it by 3 copies. And it's just they're talking. It's like, you know, we don't know what we're doing.
So you're pretty safe, right? You know. You're not under ordering.
Well, I'm not under ordering because I still have 7 copies of number 7 on the shelf. So I didn't sell out.
That's called sales.
Why is this on eBay at $15 a piece?
What, number 7?
Yeah,
I sold my number 1 for $70.
Really?
Whoa,
yeah.
What?
Yeah, I was looking at the end of, at the back of the Bleeding Cool magazine, and they were saying, like, Morning Glories number 1, Thief of Thieves number 1.
I've sold all of these in the last month.
They're all going for $50 plus.
A sketch card with my Morning Glories number 1, and just because the version I bought, and I sold it for $120.
Hmm. The comic and the sketch card, or the sketch card alone?
Sketch card and the book.
But, and I also sold 13 copies of the trade paperback, so you'd assume some people that bought that would have jumped in, oh, I really like this, number 7 came out, great, I'll get it. But the fact that I went down 3 issues between 6 and 7 tells me that maybe that 3-month gap did hurt sales. I was talking to one customer about this today, and he said, yeah, I was reading it. Then it didn't come out. I forgot about it. I might pick it up. I might not. So just for them to be haranguing us about this. The other thing I liked is Nick Spencer then tweeted that orders on Bedlam number 3 went down, and how was that even possible, being that it's such the great thing? And I'm like, well, 1, 2 wasn't that great. 3, where's issue 4 of Infinite Vacation, Nick? Where's the next issue of Morning Glories?
Did you ask him that?
No, but in my head I did, because I'm sitting here going, here's a guy who has a horrible track record of getting books out and complaining that we don't have faith in him and reduced our orders.
Well, the Image's offices are right across the bay in Oakland. So
okay, would you go yell at him for me?
Yeah. Return
But overall...
We're packing the podcast up.
Yeah, the reaction...
Has there been any repercussions for, like, by Hibs or anyone like Hibs posting this and saying, how do you treat people like this?
Well, Bleeding Cool took some comments on the retailer message board, and it was basically, you know, why are you talking to us like this? And one guy made a perfect example. You know, you're saying we under-ordered this book. He's like, do you really think that we know we could sell X, but we intentionally ordered X minus 2? No, we ordered what we thought we could sell. If the book outdid that, that's good for you, that's good for us, it sold more. We're not under-ordering intentionally. You know, if it outperforms our expectations, that's great.
But they are not putting second prints out specifically to hurt you.
Right. Well, they want us to up our numbers, like Marvel did back during the Gemma's years.
Didn't they just put out second prints of all the number ones of those?
They'll
books?
Do number ones, but not of a regular later issue, because we should know how to order these by now.
It's ironic that...
Yeah, the week that all these number ones...
The week that they have the Image first reprints come out, they make that announcement.
Yeah.
How much time is left?
Well, why don't all the retailers just stop getting it?
Well, no, we're not going to. But, I mean, it's just one of those, why are you yelling at us?
Yeah, but wouldn't that be a slap in the face?
Well, yeah. But
nobody's selling their books, so they don't have to worry about it. People didn't order enough?
Well, no, I get what I ordered, but okay. if I run out, I well, can't get any more.
Okay, so what's the problem?
Right. I just think it's just really insane to talk to somebody who is 100% your customer like that.
Right.
It's more the way.
Yeah, that's kind of that was another big thing. You know, the same thing with that DC letter that they sent about the digital, where it's like,
yeah, but
why are you complaining to me about how hard it is for Amazon to process your digital files? I don't care.
Yeah.
This one, yeah, this was like somebody said, is she 17? You know, the person who wrote that.
And the
answer
like
somebody
yes.
was pissed off about it and went on a rant and didn't have the common sense to like save the rant until
yeah.
the next day and reread it.
Yeah,
it was full of likes, and at the end they told you to talk.
But
to
one of
rant.
The people said is, "Well, wait a minute, Image. You know, the creators pay for the second prints at Image. Is like, did anybody run this by Brian K. Vaughan? That we need more, we order more, but you're intentionally not printing those so that we can't sell more. That's an interesting business position to take." You know, so, but the big thing was, you know, we're not under ordering intentionally. You know, there's no store that orders less than they think they can sell.
A Marvel hater, a DC hater.
Not a hater.
And an Image hater.
There's still Dark Horse.
Yes.
I guess it's like Dark
Horse. You know what? But here we go. I sold out of that Hellboy in Hell, and I got more in this week.
Yeah.
They overprinted, and I was able to order them in. So, but, and to be fair, I just got in more Iron Man number ones this week, today. So Marvel
second prints or
first prints, Marvel overprinted enough that I've been able to keep them on the shelf.
I mean, my mind, the way reason Image is doing this is to push their digital sales.
This is Image.
Oh, Image.
Yeah.
Okay.
But no, that's what one retailer said is, oh, but you can get it digitally from our store. Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's the advantage of digital for the publisher, right? I mean,
you can
never overprint.
Yeah, or underprint. Yeah.
Or underprint.
There's no inventory cost. Yeah.
Right.
No,
don't you have a greater risk getting stuck with second prints than if you sell, you know, if you sell through the first and then you order a batch of the second prints?
Not really, because I wouldn't order a batch. I'd order two, and if those sold, I'd order two more. You know, I wouldn't go crazy. But you know, asking me to order 10 more up front, you know, when I'm seeing a decrease, you know, last two issues I've dropped 8 copies. That's a fourth of my sales. I'm not going to order. You know, I'm not going to up my order in knowing I won't be able to get more later. That's not going to happen.
But won't you do it just so you don't have to, like, get, you know, yelled at again?
No.
He's a scared of
that. No, and it's funny. I was saying, you know, if I sell out, that's actually perfect for me. That means I've maximized my profit on that. Everyone I have sitting on the shelf is a loss for me.
They might personally.
And what's funny, Colin, is that's their mentality. You know, they're not doing second prints because they don't want to have inventory.
Right.
So you're saying, well, I'm going to do the same thing. Well, no, you're not allowed to do that.
Yeah, that's bad. You should do more.
Can I buy all your number sevens?
You can, but don't. Okay, that's enough. That's true. That would, but... Okay. And I'm sure what happened, it's at some stores, they did have people grab the thing. But, I mean, the bigger thing was the three-month gap, which kills sales.
Yeah, they glossed over that.
They glossed, but in Rich, when Rich reprinted that, Rich Johnson on Bleeding Cool, he did include a little thing at the end. He says, you know, and retailers know that this kills sales, and you lose any momentum, which apparently...
Doesn't announced hiatus take really...
But not everybody reads the website. Some people just come in to get their books.
I was eagerly
And even if you know it's there, it kills
like
momentum.
Yeah. I wonder who that guy was.
Because not everybody has the books
pulled. Like you said, if it's one thing if they're just delaying, you get, oh, I'll screw it, I'm not waiting. But, I mean, once it's announced, then I think it's a little different.
It's more forgivable,
yes.
But it still hurts sales because momentum is a real thing.
Right, and you come out with number seven in the middle, you know, right at the same time as Marvel's relaunching their whole line, and I have X amount of dollars to spend. Well, I don't even remember what happened in the last issue of Saga, but, you know, this Uncanny Avengers I liked.
You're supposed to get all of...
I bet you there was
skip your Marvel stuff.
No, but yeah. Well, yeah.
That's
great. Right, yeah. Marvel bad.
That would be a horrible decision.
It's really not good.
Skip your Marvel.
But, yeah, so it's just, I don't know where they're going with this, but the reaction has not been good, and we're just kind of like, why are you talking to us like we're children? It's our money involved, so...
I'm convinced that your enthusiasm is what pushes books here in the store. Like, when you were all excited about the new 52, it rubbed off on the customers.
Yes, absolutely.
I bet with Saga, if you reduced your orders to zero, you would not sell any out of this store.
Well, no.
Well, if I didn't order it.
Oh yeah! What a powerful blog post that would be if you went, if you posted your numbers and then you were like, and number 80 because they took a shot at me. This is my shot back at them.
Well, no.
Then he's yeah, over his just, customers. Just they
get
want
one.
The
just get one.
Just one. One for Donnie.
At least
okay.
Get two.
Then they could go digital.
Yeah, three.
It's one. A no. It's a no-win situation.
Yeah, it's just it was just a weird attitude to take. That's.
Why don't you call them up?
Yeah, they have a number.
Call
them
now.
Yeah, we'll call them now.
Did we ever figure out how we make how
three
they
hours
made?
Early. I was just going to bring that up.
Yeah, they might still be in the office.
No, I'm not.
What's with this? You know?
I'm sure Hibbs yelled at him enough for me.
That's what he's there for.
That is what he's there for.
You could actually go to Image's office, right? Who wrote this? Was it Eric Larson?
No, it was Jennifer de Guzman.
Larson doesn't do anything.
That's their marketing person.
So she published it.
Well, I, yeah, but and then I love, but here's all these other things. Here's some number twos on FOC that you won't, we're not going to reorder. So make sure you order lots. You know, change two. Well, change one came out today. You know, orders presently are 38% lower than for issue number one. That's because we don't know if you guys are going to like it or not. Yeah, non-humans number two. I know it's late, and lateness is the death knell for sales numbers, but, exclamation point, this is the return to Image by Will Sportacio, and a 33% drop in order seems a mite steep, considering that non-humans one sold out. Yeah, it did, so why would I up my orders when number two came out 3 months ago, and I haven't been able to get more? You know, so.
Because they said so.
Yeah.
Number ones typically sell.
Right, and people try more, number one, exactly. But they don't always come back for number two. Well, and you know what? 30% is about right because I'll order 10 number ones and 7 number twos because I don't know. You know, I said to somebody, I'm reading the same previews you are. That's all I have is that one page of art, and maybe they put text on it, but you know, in the blurb of it being the greatest story in the history of stories, you know, they all say the same thing.
I think they're vacuuming the roof.
Yeah, no, they vacuum the walls next door.
I could have sworn they were right above me.
Put shag carpeting on these walls.
There we go. So, that's enough
what
of me venting.
What crazy news happened?
That's all. That's all I have.
Any books come out?
Some books came out. I thought maybe we'd talk about Avengers number one that came out last week.
Nah, I don't want to talk about
okay.
that.
No, okay.
It was big.
Giant size X-Men number one.
Yes. You know, it wasn't until you said that, Nick, I went, you know what? Damn, you nailed that. My concern reading what is just seems so big, especially the beginning where it was, it happened, this happened before the white light and after Hyperion and all this, and you're just going, how big is this going to be? And my fear is, you know, this is your Avengers, this is your main book. It's almost going to scare people off. You know, it's not just the Avengers fighting the Grey Gargoyle. You
did
know.
You see that happening, though?
What?
Did you kind of predict that was going to happen, though?
I saw it.
I did. I saw it.
Well, as soon as they announced Hickman, but I thought maybe Hickman would dial it down a little. Yeah.
I couldn't.
So,
he ranked it to 11.
Yeah. Yeah, and number... I read the digital preview number two. It was good, but it's still so big.
But you're saying that, too.
Are you saying that because I
think
they use that term in the book over and over again, so every time you say it...
Oh, I'm not trying to use that, but the fact, basically, they're taking on God.
I understand that, but even within the book, I felt like I got beat over the head with
okay,
telling
me
over
maybe
and over
they
again
did.
How big this is going to...
You don't know.
This is big people. Over and
but
over and over again.
That might be, but just I remember reading it just going, this isn't going to be a story arc. You know, can we handle another three-year story out of their main book? You know, are people going to stick around? Because they didn't stick around on Fantastic Four.
No, I didn't. I got tired of it after a while.
And
the tricky part is, unlike Fantastic Four, is that all these characters are in other books too. So that makes the length of this story, you know, even less plausible to really buy.
Yeah, and you know, Captain America is now on Dimension Z, so I don't quite understand how he's on the moon or whatever.
Especially the time right now when Marvel is anywhere it wants to be. I mean, that's really the truth of it. Do you think this will hold up better as a book for existing readers better than new readers, though, right? New readers wouldn't be able to know what's going on. I think
on this one you could jump in. I don't think this one... It's not like all new X-Men, where I don't know if you could read all new X-Men without having read Avengers versus X-Men.
When your new customers go into a comic book, do they expect something this large and written by Hickman? I mean, that's.
I don't know. I mean, I like the writing. I like the art. I liked everything about the book.
Especially after the movie.
Didn't
we have to get
kick
bigger
off last
right.
year with the Avengers? That's what I was saying to you earlier with Marvel.
Well, Marvel last May we got Avengers Assemble, yeah, where they re-kicked everything off. I love that just last year we had Incredible Hulk number one, which the trade just came out today of Incredible, of Jason Aaron's run on Incredible Hulk. So, yeah, they're just always revamping.
And with the movies, this is what I was saying, for Marvel, for me now, I'm just sampling titles, and now with Spider-Man coming to an end, I don't even know if that was my last kind of...
I'm hearing a lot of that.
He'll be back.
I know it will be, but that was my last, like, never fails, always on the pull list, other things come and go.
But this reminds me of the last reboot of Spider-Man, in a way. I mean, they canceled Amazing Spider-Man, brought out Peter Parker.
I'm thinking about coming back.
Did that. I don't know, I'm interested in
it. Yeah, I think it's a brilliant idea, because
we
Dan
don't know
Slott,
exactly what it is, though.
Dan Slott pulled this amazing trick on everybody by making us think that his whole intent was to bring Peter Parker back to basics, get rid of the marriage, strip down Peter Parker, and make it like when he was first introduced.
Who, Dan Slott?
Dan Slott. That was his intent. He JMS pushed Spider-Man as far as possible. Dan Slott brought him back to basics.
Oh, Quesada really brought him back to basics. Yeah. And then Dan Slott took over.
When, in reality, Dan Slott could have been setting us up for the biggest change ever, where Doc Ock takes over Peter's body and has a storyline where...
I don't think that's going to
last. Doc Ock is in Peter's body.
Yeah, because I really don't want to read Doc Ock Spider-Man.
It's going to come to an end. I think it's 700
it'll
end.
It's like Night Quest. You know, like Night Quest is after the fact, it's an okay story because you know it's temporary. And you know this is temporary, too. It's sometimes you have to take like Peter Parker out of the scenario to see like what somebody else would do with these powers, and that informs you a lot about the character because it gives you a juxtaposition.
Right. It just concerns me that they're relaunching a new series with it. Are we then is it going to last a year and then they'll bring him back with Amazing Spider-Man 701?
He has like 9 minutes to live.
Can we start a poll on who's going to be in Peter Parker's body in Superior Spider-Man? Because I would like to enter Kurt Connors.
The ultimate Spider-Man TV show had a similar plot with
Uncle Ben.
Spider-Man.
It's Uncle Ben.
Uncle Ben back.
Okay.
Change bodies.
I think
change
it's still going to be locked off for a little bit.
That's an adaptation of Bendis wrote that episode, and it's an adaptation of a comic that he wrote for Ultimate Spider-Man, where it's this Freaky Friday scenario too.
Yeah.
He adapted his own work.
So I don't know if I was tainted when I read the new Spider-Man comic, because I had just come off seeing that episode about 100 times with my daughter, and I was just like... It doesn't feel like
What's
it has the gravity
now?
For me.
Ultimate Spider-Man.
It is?
Yeah, right. Streaming.
Cool.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
Okay. And then the other new number one that came out last week was Thunderbolts.
That's right, you mentioned Nova.
That's kind of cool. It's all kind of flat to
you
me.
Know what? People ask me, I go, you know what? Sadly, I wrote that issue in high school in study hall when I was writing my own superhero team, and I had the main guy, and he went and visited the one hero and said, hey, would you come join my team? And then they went to another hero, and they said, hey, would you come join my team? And that's literally what that issue was. Went to Elektra. Hey, would you like come join me? Hey, Deadpool, you want to come be on my team? And it was so...
FF number one, too.
Yeah, it was just so... Well, FF at least seemed a little different, but Thunderbolts...
Like
Thunderbolts was just
no,
so...
I thought Team 7...
It's
by the numbers.
Team building by the numbers.
Yeah.
It's too early to give up.
No, it's not too early to give up, but just...
I don't think it's...
I wasn't, you know... People are like, what was it about? I'm like, I couldn't tell you what's going to happen in the next...
Did Hulk smash at all? Because that's...
Yeah, it was for that.
Very little smash.
Last minute.
What's the Dirty Dozen, isn't it, right? You show up with the dossier and try to...
Yeah. It just... It wasn't... That, you know, I wasn't going, I can't wait to read the next one.
But, I mean, it is a good number one, because you introduced all the characters.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'll give him that. That's a good call.
And it hasn't had for Morbius, the living vampire. Everybody's all excited about that one.
That came out.
I can't wait to read, point
right.
one today.
Right.
Yeah.
Everyone.
Because, you know, $6.99.1, the issue before the last issue, is a great jumping on point.
Is it?
You could do a lot of things with a point, Colin.
Are they going to bring back the arms, though? Do you remember Spider-Man 101?
Oh, it might be in 700. That could be.
The extra arms.
It makes sense.
I hope you see Peter Parker take, like, a bullet right between the eyes.
I want the spider baby to come back.
Wow, dark.
Yeah, whatever happened to the spider baby?
Where's my spider baby?
No, I just want him to be dead.
He was in the last...
Dead.
Wait, oh, you mean that? Oh, you mean the baby? Yeah. I thought you were talking about Stanley.
I see Slott doing that one. No, not Normie. Not Norman.
Not Normie.
The one that got miscarried?
Maybe Peter Parker gets
it. It wasn't miscarried. Norman Osborn stole the baby.
Yes.
No, Harry stole it.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever happened.
That was Norman. That's when he was revealed to be back.
You never seen, never know what happened to that.
Yeah.
Maybe Peter.
You're still talking about that. Other baby. This is getting confusing.
Who's baby?
Not.
There's so many babies.
Not Harry's baby. We don't care about Normie.
Mary Jane.
No, that's Stanley. Well, they have two babies now.
Whatever. No, we're talking about Peter and Mary Jane's baby.
Yeah.
That's never
been. What happened to Mary Jane?
She's still.
She's an actress. You know.
She owns a nightclub.
Yeah, she was running a club.
She's a nightclub owner.
With her money that she has.
Got.
Hey, who uses the augmented reality?
Me.
No.
Do you use it?
Occasionally.
I do. I actually like it.
I did it one time.
I
tried to use it on my iPad and it locked it up.
It works better now.
It exploded.
Yeah, it works correct a lot better
for
now.
Me. It doesn't have. It seems like it doesn't have to be as precise. I got really frustrated with it the first couple of times.
Yeah.
But now with the iPad Mini, because the phone, it doesn't give you a big enough screen to really enjoy any of the extras. So I was like, well, why bother using the phone? But with the iPad, it's kind
of
nice.
My problem is some of them are hit or miss. Like, do I really want to listen to JRJR talk about his design for the Iron Man armor? No.
Really?
Do I really want to listen to Matt Fraction rant about something? No. Do I want to hear your inspiration behind that page and layout? Yes. So it's kind of like...
It appeals to the kid in me from when I'd get a comic book and read every single word in it, including all the ads.
How many books I get throughout the week? I don't want to scan all those things.
Exactly. That's what I just said.
There's, what, 3 or 4 a book.
Now, how would that work digitally? Oh, sorry.
Well, how would you know, though, like, what's going to happen?
You don't until you
watch it. So that's just a surprise. So, yeah.
That's why some of it's great and some of it's...
From what I heard,
yeah,
I don't miss
okay,
anything.
Some of it's okay, yeah.
Weird.
But I found the other thing, well, we're talking electronic. My collection online is just out of control now.
The Comixology stuff?
Yeah, I don't know. You don't have enough freedom to organize and move things around. And I'm becoming very frustrated with that part of my collection, which is now is just driving me further back to the...
To the paper stuff.
To the paper stuff. In the last 2 weeks, I haven't even bothered downloading the free electronic copies that you get anyways. Because
I've never done that.
Me neither.
Never done what?
Redeemed any of those stickers.
That's
because
you're devaluing
probably have,
the
like,
book.
Right.
Million,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you're devaluing the book, man.
Get out of here.
Maybe if you unpeel it, it'll stick right back on. That would be cool.
They're only good for a year anyways.
Away, huh?
They're good
people,
for 1 year,
people
right?
Sell
so
them on,
that
people
point.
Sell them on eBay. They're codes
really?
On eBay, yeah.
Hmm.
They sell them for like a dollar.
Who uses those?
And then you pretty much you get your dollar for book, you're getting a book for dollar cheaper.
Yeah.
I'm a capitalist. This sounds interesting.
Remember when remember when Xbox 360 games used to come with the 2 months free of Xbox Live?
Yeah.
I used to sell those on eBay.
Yeah, yeah.
And just email the guy the number so there's no shipping involved. Get like $5.
Yeah.
I always wanted to be a master of a gold farming operation. That was really my end goal. You guys familiar with gold farming?
No.
Oh, sorry.
Are these this new Discovery series? Bamazon and Jungle Gold?
You ever heard of that? They make kids in foreign countries play video games and collect fake, you know, video game money, and then they sell it for real money.
Mm.
Hmm.
They give them breaks, like, every other day.
Video game sweatshops? Is this what we're talking
you
about?
You died!
I've unfortunately, I've heard of this, where...
It's a real thing, and it's going to be my retirement, I think.
Go play World, like, make these, like, 8-year-olds play World of Warcraft and just gather money and money and money and then sell it online or Minecraft.
Huh.
They have water like gerbils do, so, I mean.
Why are we working? Yeah, get your daughter going, man.
That's got to be better than making a pair of Nikes.
That's what I say. They still play a game.
Well, I mean, it's like play a game or work for Martha Stewart.
Yeah.
I mean,
Nick, you watching Arrow?
I actually, except for some of the teeny kind of drama stuff, but for the most part, I actually like Arrow a lot.
Yeah, so do
we
I.
were talking about that earlier, and it seems to be a pretty
strong
consensus.
Yeah. No, I've enjoyed it, yeah.
What's the besides Walking Dead, obviously, like, what's a better live-action superhero adaptation that you've, or I guess, and that's, Walking Dead's on superhero, but like, let's talk superheroes. What's a better live-action superhero TV series?
Powers. Oh, wait, no, sorry.
Batman from the 60s.
Exactly. Wow. Yeah. Woo!
That's the only thing I would compare it to.
That's the.
Smallville.
Smallville was so.
80s Superboy.
Teeny bopper drama.
Lois and Clark.
Birds of Prey.
It seems like the stunts and some of the special effects are of a little bit higher quality on Arrow versus Smallville. Yeah. Smallville still, like, when I'm watching that, I know I'm watching a TV show.
Yeah.
Whereas a lot of the stuff on the Arrow, it seems like the CW took the formula, like, okay, we'll use the hot chicks and belly shirts and the soft cameras for those scenes, and then we'll use really tight, quick cuts for the action, because I think the action scenes and the stunts on Arrow are almost movie caliber.
Are you crying?
No, I can't watch what he won't sell you the ornament, so you're gonna break it.
Exactly.
No,
apparently,
got pandemonium on the tree.
Oh, only my Amazing Fantasy 15 ornament. Nice. Man, the
most valuable.
Clearly, Spider-Man does not stick to walls.
Yeah, not when Adam's smacking it.
Speaking of which, Adam smashed the last Arrow till February, I believe.
That's okay.
I don't like these mid-season.
No,
that,
yeah.
That just seems like
very deceptive.
Last year, Walking Dead did that, which was the first time I ever heard the phrase.
Yeah.
Although a lot of shows used to do it around the holidays, they take a month off or whatever.
Yeah.
Just very annoying.
So how come don't open all the way so you could read it?
It's not that type of book.
So now we gotta wait.
Light costume
hero. Yeah, that's what I my guess is that they only did a few at the beginning to see if it took off, see if it got picked up. So
I haven't had a chance to ask you guys what you thought of the part one of the Batman, the new Batman direct to DVD animated.
I didn't watch it.
I like.
Don't you listen to these podcasts?
Well, not all of them. Sometimes it gets a little. You guys go a little long in the tooth.
Let's go.
We've been cutting 41.
Well, that's what I was.
We still got 20 minutes till we hit the hour mark.
Yeah, we've been trying to cut them in an hour lately.
Fair enough.
I liked it.
How do you do it?
How do you do what?
You didn't like it?
Why? How do you cut it off in an hour?
We just run out of stuff to talk about.
What Batman?
The direct to DVD part one of
Dark Knight Returns.
The Dark Knight Returns.
I didn't see it.
So. You haven't seen it?
January is part two.
Don't you like comics?
Oh, okay.
Don't you like Batman? No.
What's wrong with you?
You're embarrassing me.
Well,
so you liked it?
Marvel, yeah, I liked it a lot. It's funny because when my daughter finds it on the iPad, she's like, Daddy, this Batman's not for me. This is where he's old and angry.
Was he ever not old and angry? Oh, man.
He's particularly angry in the beginning.
Yeah.
Did you let her watch year one, where he's young and pissed off?
No. She's doing
much
mask.
Different. It's much different.
Well, it's really tough. It's Mask of the Phantasm right now, Young Justice.
That's a good movie.
The new Tinkerbell.
Yeah, Sub-Zero.
And by the way, Disney, I brought the family to Disney at the end of the summer, beginning of the fall. And although Marvel's not in the park yet, some of the stores on the outside are now starting to sell Marvel products in the Disney stores.
In the last summer, we went down to Florida, and in Orlando, they have the Superhero Adventure Island in Universal. It's all like Marvel stuff,
right?
And
isn't that coming down though?
I haven't heard. I don't think Universal and Disney are like together.
No,
they're separate companies. So I would assume not. But that was pretty awesome. The Spider-Man ride in there was pretty badass.
Man, that Hulk roller coaster,
the Hulk
Universal,
yeah, it was cool.
Was badass. It was a good ride.
And their stores are all like that, all comic related. It was pretty neat.
Yeah, we got some pretty cool Spider-Man shirts for the family. So my wife and myself and Parker were running around with our Spider-Man shirts. The Cars attraction was awesome though. They nailed that.
Huh.
I was amazed. I didn't know how they could take that from the CGI world and actually make it look real.
Recreate that Red Eater spray.
Yeah. And I mean, it's had a little bit of a smaller scale, but still, it was very impressive.
Huh. Hey, Nick, did you cook that yourself?
Was it a pot brownie?
No.
No. Just he's eating, and I'm just sitting here going, I don't. That doesn't look like you could make that with condiments. Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry. Go back to eating.
It's not DiGiorno's.
Okay.
I'm all caught up with Hawkeye.
Okay, yep. I'm behind. I think I read the first three.
You should get caught up. It's good.
I thought they were going to be one and done stories, and now they're starting these.
They're kind of one and done with a little bit of like an overarching theme, I think.
Well, we're definitely in part two now.
Well,
do you know how many parts that is? I didn't bother reading.
Probably two or three.
I know there's a fill-in with number seven. I think they're doing something like, well, there's one's going to have a fill-in artist, or guest artist, sorry.
The last one and then had a fill-in.
Okay, and then there's supposed to, the next one I think is supposed to be like a Sandy-themed one where he's saving people.
I'm already planning ahead because, you know how Joe is at, you know, for the end of the year wrap-ups with our lists and everything, so...
Get started.
I know.
Tally them up.
Covers of the year go to Hawkeye for me. Those have,
David Asia.
Yeah, those have been my favorite covers.
I love
thought
David
it was
going to
be
covers.
The Red Skull ones from the Red Skull miniseries earlier.
Last year.
Was that
it was 2011?
Yeah, it was last year. Last year, yeah.
Sorry.
Well, I guess it's not in the running for this year.
Yeah, what if you read something this year, but it came out last year? Can we use that?
Was that last year?
It was published in 11.
Okay, I'll say.
Can we do that again this year, Colin?
Sure.
No.
Can we argue about everything at
yes.
the end of the year?
Yes, I like that.
Can we get Scott Snyder to call back?
He said no.
No.
No?
He just told me.
They let him go.
He just got an email.
He didn't get an email. He got a text. He got a tweet. Oh.
It was a
tweet message.
Yeah. Telepathically.
No, now, speaking of Scott Snyder, he's going to be off Swamp Thing now. And I wonder how that's going to affect Swamp Thing sales.
After
yes.
Rot World.
Yeah, he says.
Yeah, after Rot World, he's done with Swamp Thing.
Did he say he's taking over?
No.
Did he say what he's going to take on?
Superman. He's doing Superman. He's doing a Vertigo book called The Wake with Sean Murphy. Yay. And then Batman. He doesn't want to get overloaded.
He's not taking over the actual Superman book. He's taking
a new Superman, yeah.
Yeah.
Are you far enough in the year now? And I mean, I'm not asking you to give away the secret sauce or anything, but was this year better for Pittsburgh Comics than last year?
Yes. I passed last year in November. So,
So that's so
December's
that's,
all gravy,
it's
baby.
All gravy. All gravy. I'm hoping to hear something soon about the big gravy. So
I think I watched too much Storage Wars.
Yeah. That's a $30 bill. I say that when I'm going through a box of books that comes in.
Well, now I'm finding out a lot of those shows aren't even real.
What?
They recreate all
no
of that
way.
Show.
Way.
Yeah, what's his name? They said on the news on the news yesterday about that. What's
Dave
the
Hester. Amish Mafia?
Yeah.
Which one?
Dave Hester.
Yeah, the Amish one is
Hester.
He told everybody on. I don't remember how they did this exactly, but he told everybody that it was rigged. Like, it's not real.
Moonshiners is the same way. Because I was starting to wonder, all these shows, like, now we can just, like, as long as it's for a TV show, you can just do illegal stuff?
Well, I mean, the Storage Wars, I always figured was like, all right, let's follow them around, and we're going to show three auctions out of 50, right? Because they show the ones that are interesting.
Right.
So they
as
show
long
them,
as
like,
Honey Boo Boo is real, I don't know.
Oh, man. How could that not be real, man? They can't make
well,
that stuff up.
Shot, it's her.
I mean, it's like one of my favorite TV shows.
It's a train wreck, yeah.
It's like Dance Moms.
Do you guys know how to watch it?
How?
Well, it's the prequel to the movie Idiocracy.
Idiocracy.
You ever seen Idiocracy?
Not familiar with that one.
I can't watch that all the way through. That movie starts so strong, and just and peters out.
Well, the starting strong part is the Honey Boo Boo part.
Yeah, exactly. The football player keeps having kids. The smart
people. The people
though.
That have lots of kids are the people that are the lowest common denominator. Therefore, Honey Boo Boo is like going to be president pretty soon. Just embrace it.
So in this dystopian future, it's a the equivalent of a WWE wrestling superstar is the president of the United States.
You mean Camacho? President Camacho, Mountain Dew?
Yeah, I mean, I watch a lot of bad reality TV. I cannot do Honey Boo Boo.
Well, see, my problem is my daughter got really into Toddlers and Tiaras. So we knew who Honey Boo Boo was when they announced the show, and she's like, "Oh, we got to watch this because we knew who Big Mama and everybody."
Oh no!
So yeah, we watch. I mean,
is there
going to
be a comic
all.
Crossover?
No, you couldn't
probably
do justice to them in a comic.
Hey, how's your pony selling?
You know what? Not as well as I thought, and I ordered
like
a
you read on the internet,
boatload.
You think
it
nobody
was,
has anybody.
It
I mean,
was,
Katie can draw, or what's
her name? Katie can draw.
That's her.
Yeah,
Katie
Cook.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I thought it was, you know, they were talking about this is going to be the biggest thing ever. And, I mean, it's done fine, but nowhere near, you know, nobody's been coming in. Although there was one very funny thing where I had the box set and I got a phone call and the guy came in very nervously, shaking, handing me the money, you know, very excited to get that. I'm assuming he was a brony. Yes.
I know, I got introduced to that term. Because I had the book on the pull list for Parker, and then started seeing all the stuff on the internet about it. I'm like, what is all that? Like, really?
I ain't pull that anymore.
And you know, I did enjoy when you know, guys, hey, could you hold me one of those for my daughter? I'm like, yeah, for your daughter.
It's not a bad book. I've had to read it to her 8 times already. So,
how's Adventure Time sales?
Good. Good, the not selling as well as it was, and I haven't sold a single copy of the trade, which really surprised me.
I love Superman Family Adventures, and I didn't realize it until, again, my daughter made me sit down and read her a number of issues in sequence. The first page in every issue is kind of the same.
Okay.
Something comes down from space and crashes. It always starts with meanwhile, and it doesn't matter what issue you open up. It's always that first... first page is always the same. So now that we're on issue 7 or 8, so now when I open it up, it's great because Parker already knows what's in the first.
It's nice when you see craft like that. You know, it was thought out. That was planned.
But for a kid's book,
they paid attention. Yeah.
Well, do you know Franco and Art who write that? They have their own podcast. They also bought their own comic store.
It only carries their books?
Yeah, probably. That's fair, though.
Are they allowed to reorder it? Oh, sorry.
Yeah, they probably can do whatever they want. Except for Image books, then they're going to get yelled at.
Right, they're going to get yelled at. Yeah, that was a big thing. Just why are we being chastised, you know? Just, what?
So what's on your Christmas comic wish list? Your one item.
I already bought my one item.
You bought it for yourself?
Yes.
As all good geeks do?
Yes. No. You're not around enough to hear all the fun stories.
It's not here anymore. I looked over.
It's not here. No, it's being framed. I'm as
the artist
proclaimed. I am a...
yes, it's a big frame.
I am a big... Yeah. Each page. I'm a big fan and proponent of Puck Rock Jesus. And... I bought a page and my wife is having it framed. It was funny because...
or thrown away, whatever.
I was on Twitter. I hope not.
Yeah.
I was on Twitter and Sean Murphy mentioned he just finished the last page. He had 15 minutes while the ink was drying. You know, any questions? And Declan Shalvey, who does Thunderbolts, I believe, or Dark Avengers or whatever it's called now, asked him what's the hardest thing for him to draw, like action or emotion or something like that. And he said the hardest page he had to draw was the death of Cola the polar bear. And I tweeted back to him, I said, I asked my wife for that page for Christmas, because he had posted earlier a link to the art for sale, and I was going through it, and I pointed out that page. I said, that is an awesome page, I'd love that to have that. And he responded back saying, what a depressing, depressing gift. and so I told Sandy, and she's like, I said, I really like to have this, and she's like, well, just buy it. I don't know where to go to buy it. You know, buy it, and I'll frame it. So I bought it. Responded, you know, told him I bought it.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's like shared money at that point in your life. I mean,
Right, no, but it's so I bought my own Christmas present.
Yeah, it's all their money anyway.
Well,
right.
I bought.
So you use it.
I follow Sal Abinanti on Facebook. He's one of my Facebook friends, and he does a sketch of the day that he puts up there. And he did a Spider-Man one that was just crazy. It was done on black with, I don't know whether it was like paint and day glow marker, and it's just really with the Brooklyn Bridge behind it, which is a really crazy piece. I ended up buying it, and I just said, hey, I'd like to buy that. And he's like, send the check to here. I was like, done.
Oh, yeah,
sweet. So my wife's going to get that framed.
It'll take me a week to find my checkbook. Who writes checks?
Oh, and I don't know if Nick and you know this, but
I have checks.
My big Christmas present, I'm still waiting to hear if I get it, but I'm trying to buy the building, so. Oh. We're in the final stages. So.
I do that.
Yeah.
Anybody want a helicarrier?
Yeah.
It's so big.
I have it, and it's been in my storage room. I hate it. I can't play with it, so it just mocks me from...
Why can't you play with it?
it takes.
Have you seen it?
Seriously, dude. When it came, it is so big.
It's the size of a person.
I'm going to have to flip it on eBay because I can't open it. Because to open it, you have to play with it. Then you're fully committed.
And you have to choose between the kid and the wife.
Is it or like, I have to choose between, do I eat off this table as a family? Or
is
does it become
like
the
action figures?
It was the San Diego Comic-Con limited edition helicarrier. I mean,
did you get it at San Diego? Or?
I bought it on eBay after the fact.
Okay.
But I didn't realize how big it was.
I did that with the Avengers, the Court of Owls mask.
What is that from the Avengers? Is that...
In promotion for the movie, yeah.
Oh, okay.
But the helicarrier, swear to God, what is it, Nick? Like 4.5 feet, 5 feet long?
It's just about 5 feet.
Yeah, Nick, you have it?
No, I've seen it all over the place.
We have an opportunity to have it.
Mint in box. We can make it happen.
Still
is it plastic? Is it
deal.
Like a statue? Is it?
Oh, it's the was it Hasbro?
So it's a hat. It's an action figure toy.
Yeah, it's Hasbro, yeah.
You know what this reminds me of, and Nick, you're probably the one to remember, is the USS flag.
Oh, man.
From G.I. Joe?
Yeah, the 7-foot long toy.
Aircraft carrier?
Yeah, the aircraft carrier.
When I, a couple of years ago, Brian Deemer from CGS came out to San Francisco for when we had WonderCon up there. And one of the CGS listeners worked at ILM over on the Presidio, and we got a tour of Industrial Light and Magic right before Iron Man 1 came out. And to see the models and some of the stuff they have over there. But there were certain offices we couldn't go to because the movies were in production, but they let us go into the Transformer areas. And the Transformer guys, like, their workspace, like, keyboard, mouse, heat, like, that's it. And every other inch of the desk suspended from the ceiling. And one of the guys had that big aircraft, the G.I. Joe.
Oh, wow.
I had that when I was a kid. It's probably still in my
attic. Did you have it?
I did have it. I probably still have it, actually. It's probably still in my attic.
I had the Joe space shuttle, which was kind of big, but I had I had Castle Grayskull, Technodrome, and what was the city for Transformers?
Metroplex.
Metroplex. Yeah,
I had him.
Did you have the mask headquarters?
No, the Boulder Mountain one.
Yeah,
a friend of mine did.
Okay.
No, I did not commit to mask.
I had the mask headquarters and Castle Grayskull, but I did not have.
There's a new Castle Grayskull.
Snake Mount. Yeah, I had
Snake Mount, Castle Grayskull.
Yeah. You could talk through it. It had this little vent on it. Yeah. And it made like these. You know, remember those toys you used to talk into like it was a microphone?
Yeah.
And it would vibrate. That's what it was.
Did you guys, anyone have Hordak?
I wasn't allowed to go to that guy's house on
Hordak
our street.
Hordak's fine.
They're talking to the microphone.
The
club, it vibrates.
The giant like, reptile glove.
Yeah, I had that.
Yeah.
That was cool.
That was the best
I had like every He-Man toy.
You feel like you're talking to the back of this.
I am talking to a big
He's right here.
Square.
No, my action I'm so old, action figures were like 12 inches when I was a kid. So you didn't have like a whole. Yeah, that sounds bad too, doesn't it?
Who's this with?
This podcast is getting worse and worse.
No, I had the vinyl like G.I. Joe lean-to camping set and the six-wheel buggy. Yeah.
Did you have, what was the Johnny something, and he pulled the string in his back and he talked.
Johnny?
I can't remember. What? Johnny Quest.
Johnny Quest.
No.
Did she have any Action Man?
Big Jim. That was the other one.
Big Jim.
No, I was strictly G.I. Joe. I wasn't the Action Jackson guy or...
Well, I mean, Sean's old enough that he had these toys from the 60s.
Really. Yeah, you had the original G.I. Joe.
Yeah,
the 12-inch G.I. Joe.
Yeah,
the cut of the
beard. Yeah, he had a beard.
I had G.I. Joe's pre-Kung Fu grip.
Yeah.
You're just
no,
old.
Where they just had fixed hands.
Oh, too bad he still don't have
them. Limp-wristed G.I. Joe?
No, he
well,
just had
happy
fixed
holidays.
Hands.
Thanks for
Will
coming, Sean.
See you again,
Mr. Wheatley?
Well, when, you know.
Never say never.
Never say never.
All right.
Young you could always go to San Francisco and visit.
And I'm out in the ether, so. Once I get settled on my new project.
When this podcast goes on tour, you know, that'll be our first stop.
Hey, a lot of them do it.
We could do a remote broadcast from...
Happy holidays.
See you, Sean.
See ya.
See you, Sean. I want to do a con, a podcast alley. That's kind of fun.
Will you eat that cost if we all take a trip somewhere or go on tour?
Eat that cost.
You can go to Kmart.
You're at 59.
Yeah, we'll do it live at Max and Earl's, yes.
I'll get you a cookie.
Well, if they're on Wednesday, that's free cookie anyway, so that doesn't help me.
It was a free cookie? I'll stop feeling good.
Oh, since you threw it away that day? Yes, it was a free cookie.
I didn't want to tell you it was free.
Which of you guys have rewatched Dark Knight Rises?
I'm hoping it's under the tree, so
yeah,
I haven't seen it yet.
That's kind of what I'm doing.
Did you watch it?
Oh, yeah.
Did you see me in there?
He bought it, didn't watch it.
I will tell you the timestamp that I am in there at.
Yeah, message me
the
timestamp.
Wait, you actually are in it?
Yeah,
I am in there.
I didn't see me and him in it.
I'm in there for half a second, I mean.
Well, that's what I'm waiting for the...
That was you?
Yeah. Waiting for the Blu-ray, so you can...
Yeah, well, they...
You were
the
guy with the Heinz Ward jersey?
I know they have
the... At the 1 hour, 34 minute, and 16 second mark, I appear on screen. Joe F. Joe F. appears on screen, listeners.
Do you have your SAG card?
But they don't know what you look like, even. Are you in the
I didn't get a SAG card yet, but I did reserve a tux for the Oscars this year. I put a lot into that performance.
You're going to have your own booth at Comic-Con?
Yeah, signing autographs. I won't even charge for my autographs.
Well, you could probably sign at the Steel City Con. Yeah,
I was going to say, yeah. It'll be at Steel City Con.
Or wait, no. Since Todd has the Walking Dead zombie guy he keeps advertising as signing, I'll bring you in.
Yeah, I'll replace that
Dark
guy since
Returns
he cancels.
Actor. He was an extra at the football stadium.
Yeah. I'll get little 8x10s printed up.
Yeah, with a red circle.
Football?
Yeah.
The Gotham Rogues jerseys are really expensive.
I'll look for that. No, I won't.
Here, check this out. That's me.
Oh, you're over the hour.
Oh, here, I'll send it to you. I'll send it to everyone.
Did anyone get the Heinz Ward figure? Did you get one in the
You know what? I ordered a case of them. They never showed, so.
Oh, really?
Is that weird? Did they give you your
readily available here.
You know, I got to look into it and see what's going on.
One of the best things for my toy collecting is moving to Cleveland because I can get Steelers figures, like, no problem.
Really? They're not sought after there?
Nope.
They kind of put them on the bottom shelf?
Yeah, I can find variants and everything, just laying it out.
Well, speaking of that hour mark.
Yeah, we're on it.
We're on it? Okay.
Yeah, we're past it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
What are you doing?
Did you notice it, like, right away? When you
You're in charge.
That's our show.
Does somebody else have to tell you?
That's our show. Thanks for signing on. Okay, well, that's good.
What?
Thanks for coming, Nick.
You do it. Yeah, no problem. I really appreciate good time management on a podcast. We have a lot to learn.
Well, does your recorder have a little clock on it?
It does. I mean, I don't know.
Our recorder is GarageBand.
Yeah, it scares me when we used to do those 2.5 hour ones. But
I think most podcasts that record go over an hour, and then they edit out the ums and the ahs.
Oh, I don't edit anything. What's the
And that's what gets most pros down to an hour.
Don't forget
Adam,
to tune in to shortboxpodcast.com.
Maybe that's a job for you, Adam.
There's a plug right there. Ha.
Don't, I'll edit that out.
He doesn't know how to edit.
It was.
And
it makes the PlayStation get much better.
And, since you haven't stopped yet, I can just give all of our plugs.
Oh, Adam's lost it. We'll talk to you next week. See ya.
About ice chains and fancy cars. Me, I'm trying to build mansion in Asgard. messing up in your mind during this song, been freestyling there the whole time. Now, put your hands up like this for all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk, for all the heroes undercover ducking pressing the pigs, for all the villains that he's scheming on that Tuesday tip. That's how we do it. Superpowered MC who can spit. That's how we do it. Superhuman on these tracks that I flip. Yeah, cause you ain't seen it quite like this. Because that's how we do it in the 616. Drop the beat out. I wanna go Pietro on these cats, right? Yeah. Spitting a rhythm that nobody's getting. I'm down to the infinite watches. The wisdom will baffle these women and children. I'm ripping tracks. I go Mark 5 with a power pack. Hawkeye, what I'm aiming at. Stop time, watch your chain react. Can't lie, I'm a brainiac. Little they know, I'm stealing the show. I'm filling the streets, unlimited flow. The second of Doc Ock when I'm killing it, yo. Please, shots to your chest. You're rocking a vest like Cable did. I'm hungry as Wally West at a kitchen table. Nobody will save your kid. I'm Frank with a gun. I'm Hank with his son. I'm Rob when I skip lunch eating rappers, man. So thanks for the gum. I'm Stark's wallet back before all these banks had a run. I'm Lex Luthor when I rap. I'm trying to blank out the sun. Cause all I see are friendly faces and shifty eyes. Keeping these anonymous commenters honest. Making them realize. You love to hate me on the net when I try. That's why you get no love when you're up on my block. Now, put your hands up like this. For all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the heroes undercover ducking pressing the pigs. For all the villains that he's keeping on that Tuesday tip. That's how we do it. Superpowered MC who can spit. That's how we do it. Superhuman on these tracks that I flip. Yeah, cause you ain't seen it quite like.